Okay, welcome into another episode of That's
So Cincinnati.
Merry Christmas, everyone. We got a short episode for you today. We wanted to just do a retrospective on 2019. Thanks for sticking with us here on your holiday week. Happy holidays. I hope everyone is having a wonderful season, a wonderful Christmas with their family and friends, and are getting a little bit of downtime and rest, because certainly from a political standpoint, I know so many of you love politics and are so interested in it. We are gearing up for a crazy 2020. But before we turn the page to 2020, Sherry and I wanted to spend this this is our last episode of 2019. We wanted to take a look at our top political stories of 2019. And we, Sherry, before we jump into this, I was naive enough to think, I'm thinking back to about this time last year, thinking going into 2019, I remember even telling my wife, is this going to be a pretty crazy year politically? I'm like, yeah, really? There's no major elections. Like, there's nothing, stupid me.
That's quiet leading up to now. City Hall's been just as busy as it always is, if not busier, related to the TIF districts and what's going on with the schools, and just there's been so much going on. I won't name all the things, but
and so Sherry, 2019, closing the book on 2019, it was a wild political year. Folks, we talk mostly about local politics because that's why you're here. It's the So Cincinnati podcast, and we're the ones that are delivering the news and insight and commentary and analysis on Greater Cincinnati and Cincinnati politics. And so Sherry and I, before we jumped into the booth here, we rolled up our sleeves and we picked our top five political stories of the year. We argued, we went back and forth, we shouted at each other, we screamed, we were in a room by ourselves, and like we just knocked down drag out with on the whiteboard was gone and we're erasing things, and Sherry's like saying no.
What Jason really means, and he was like, hey, we got to come up with that list. And I think you grabbed my actual notes for a story that are like scrap paper and a pen off my desk, and we just threw it together. That's how we roll.
Right in our little pod. We threw it out there, and it's funny because I think we had a really sort of little tiny debate about the placing of a couple, and that's it. And here we are in the booth. So without further ado,
Let's look back.
Well, let me say, Silent Phil, do you have a drum roll? He's shaking his head.
You've
no, he does not.
Asked him that before.
I have asked him that before. number five, the Convention Hotel. Sherry, what's your take on that?
God love it. This started out as... for years we have been trying to get a new convention hotel. It's very, it sounds like, why should I care? But that is what brings in the conventioners. And these people are super important to this city. First of all, they look at our city and they go back home and they say, Cincinnati's amazing. But more importantly, these people fill our restaurants and our downtown with vibrancy on Monday through Thursday nights. This is super important to the things that we all love on the weekends. They need the patrons from these things. These conventions are important. And, we've been crippled, absolutely crippled by just the dire circumstances of the Millennium Hotel. Mm-hmm. And so we've been trying for years to get control of it back and so it can be all fixed up. And there was a hero on a white horse, right? I was like, this is crazy. You broke it, I think.
Developer Rob Smijunas came in and worked out a deal with the owner of the Millennium Hotel back in the spring, I believe it was. And they came to an agreement and this owner lives in Singapore and agreed with Rob Smijunas, Cincinnati developer, to sell the Millennium Hotel after years and years of other developers and city and county political leaders fits and stops and starts and stops and whatever and headbutting. trying to work with the owner of the hotel. And finally, someone came in, worked out a deal, and things are still being worked out. The Port Authority has been brought in. I don't want to get in the weeds on that right now. It's still a little up in the air in terms of whether the convention hotel is going to happen as they try to work through some things. But the deal will the closing date is in, February 15th, mid-February. And so they'll be working on this as we go through here early in the first month and a half of the year.
But it proved to be way harder than it needs to be. We don't really know what it's going to be. And so there's a lot of consternation around that. This is mm-hmm. something that we need. And this is, I look at this as like, this is one shot. We, you know, of like trying to get this done. And I don't know what the outcome of getting it done actually looks like, but this is it. Sometimes you have to seize a moment.
And right here is that moment.
Yeah, and it just hasn't been easy as we thought that it would be. It's just more of the same of like, should we do that? Should we not do that? Why? What are you doing? And everyone's kind of sniping a little bit behind the scenes. And it's like, there's a greater good here.
Because nothing is ever easy. And that's why we call it So Cincinnati. I look at Phil and he just smiles at me. Anything else in the convention hotel?
No, because that is very much in flux. That's why that's number five, because this is carrying over into the new year.
Into 2020,
yes. Not done.
Number four. Todd Portoon retires.
Oh, this one. This was even hard to put on the list. Because
it
it's like I don't want it to have happened.
Yeah.
I think this was one of my hardest reporting moments of the year. I don't cover the county. Scott Wortman does. I don't know where he was the day that Todd said that he needed to make an announcement, and I had to go over for it. And of course, I have talked about it, and I used to cover the county. And so, you know, like it's hard to talk to all nine council members every single day, but when you cover commish, you talk to all three commissioners every single day.
Yeah.
Even though you could kind of guess back when I covered it, you know, how they were going to vote or what they were going to do, you still talk to them. And so it's like a small family over there. And to hear the news that Todd said that he was going to resign before the end of the year, and he's very, very sick, was just absolutely heartbreaking. I mean, I was crying. Other people in the room were crying. You know, people from like all sides of the aisle came as family. There was just so much love in that room. And you didn't even want to believe it because you're just like, Todd Portoon is one of the three commissioners. He was one of the three commissioners for a long time. He'll always be one of the three commissioners. And that is not to be. And so that's really tough. That's really tough.
Todd Portoon is a real guy, and he is a servant, and I'll always remember him since 4 years since I've been covering politics, and the seven and a half I've been covering.
Remember, they're like dog years. That's transportation, a long time.
In transportation, which he was very much involved in. I always remember him as a committed public servant who, whether you agree, he and I would butt heads on things, whether you agree with him on his politics or his policy. You can never question his heart, and you can never question his commitment. You can never question whether he was there for the right reasons or not. He was always there for the right reasons, and a true public servant through and through. And this was certainly worthy of the list. When you have an icon of a giant of a local political leader after. What was he between council and being a commissioner? I know he was a commissioner almost 27 years.
Yeah, the numbers.
Wow. Between Cincinnati City Council, and he was first elected to the Hamilton County Board of Commissioners in 2000. He is certainly worthy of being one of the political stories of the year. And as he moves into retirement after this week, just wish him all the best and We will miss Todd Portoon. It's kind of hard to jump to a drum roll
right back into the politics, but
after that, yeah,
you know what though, Todd loves to talk about politics.
He does. And
have we talked to him on the phone just to chit chat about politics, and it's not for any reporting that we're ever going to do.
Speaking of, here's I've really just seen his humanity as he's been so, so sick. And one of the examples is a small example. But Sherry, he texted you and I on Thanksgiving. Was it Thanksgiving night or the night before at like 2 a.m. saying, just to wish us a happy Thanksgiving. He's thinking, you know, he's been thinking about others as he's going through this incredible ordeal. And that's Todd. Anyway.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Jumping to, I'm not even going to do a drum roll for this one. We'll go just straight to number 3.
I do love your drum rolls, though.
Number 3. I just looked down. We wrote the list down. I just looked down. I just have to laugh. The Banks concert venue.
Absolutely. I mean, it's your favorite subject, and Todd's been right in the center. This was very important to Todd Portune to get done, and it is something that did get done. I mean, by a miracle, it seems, but it did get done.
Do we need to rehash much about this? Oh, my.
It's a basic reporting. You got to give people the background. You have a lead and that graph in the background. The podcast is no different. All right. So the idea, speaking of things that were unveiled and seemed amazing, we're getting a music venue at the Banks. Yay! Be vibrant and bring people down there.
Hootie-hoo!
Seemed like just a great idea. This now, at the time, we did not. So this was going to fill the hole.
At the Banks. We have many other venues.
It just became huge game of dominoes of like, well, then if we take this land, then we'll give you that land, and we're going to take those parking lots, and we're going to build a concrete plant and the asphalt plant. And it went downhill so fast. And it was, when I say, one of the craziest and just most unbelievable meetings I've ever covered, that is saying something. I mean, I have
been. Would this have been the meeting in Price, Lower Price Hill?
It would be. The meeting I just stopped by and I told Alex I'll be home in 45 minutes. I just need to see this presentation. It was just so, you know, a community.
What, 3 hours later?
Four. A community just absolutely devastated by such news. Their voices mattered. It was the first time we're really hearing these voices. Yep. And, you know, the mayor was so upset, Tom Gableman and the back and forths. And so then this morphs into the Joint Bank Steering Committee. That we saw Katie from over at the Bengals so upset. And there was arguments over there. And
Bob Castellini from the Reds. And
was so contentious. And I'll tell you what, you know what, though? It did get done. We just had the naming of it unveiled a couple weeks ago here. So
it got done.
Wait, did you like the name of it, Jason?
Well, at first, when I glanced at it, they named it after, drawing a blank, Mr. Brady. I can't think of his first name. Was it Andrew?
The music teacher, the longtime music teacher helped so many students.
Touching story, great. I mean, so at first I'm like, oh, they named it after this guy. That's great. I read the story. I just skimmed the story. And then I went back and someone texted me that night and they're like, I even tweeted about it. I was like, oh, the one thing they got right was the name. And someone texted me like, did you notice they put icon in the name? And I didn't. And then I went back and I'm like, to me, that was sort of the tip of the iceberg of the hubris and the arrogance and the sort of this, I don't know, just the fight of like, you know, to the end. They're still at the end of the day. It was a small group of people who wanted this project. And, you know, give them credit for they pushed it through and they got it. I mean, but at what cost? At what political cost? At what there are a lot of relationships that were hurt in this process. There's a lot of hurt feelings, a lot of bruised egos. And I think it's going to take time and probably well into 2020 for some of those relationships to be mended. And maybe they won't be at all.
I mean,
but they use the word icon right in the middle of the name of the new music venue. And that to me is like, my take on that is let the concert goers, let the citizens, let those everyday people decide whether it's an icon or not. Music Hall and the Museum Center, those are icons. They don't have icon in their name, but those are icons because over time, what those buildings have become.
I know. We talked about passing a tax for it. It was called the icon tax for short, and everyone knew exactly what you were talking about.
And so we, the people, have decided those are icons. Why are they deciding this is an icon when it's not even a done build? I mean, the foundation's pretty much down there right now, but it's not even a finished building yet. How can you call it an icon?
So the biggest win out of this, I think, was, you know, the mayor, you know, for all of the angst and consternation around everything, he did preserve lots that were going to be surface parking lots. He preserved them for development. That's huge going forward. I don't think that's the kind of thing you're remembered for. I saved the surface parking lot from being, you know, like it. But in the scheme of things,
You'll see the results of that someday paying off.
Right.
Yeah.
And it also, there's an agreement. There's kind of a new path forward of like, okay, the county's going to develop this plot and the city's going to do this. And it seems like a much quicker way to get things done.
I'm glad you brought that up, because one of the positives in this, after there was so many things that just went wrong and went sideways, one of the real, I think, encouraging things that happened here are that when John Cranley, the mayor, and Todd Portune, as we mentioned earlier, got together at Portune's house, those are seasoned veteran politicians saying, it came out of Cranley continued to fight. He continued to be public about his fight. He continued to push. And Todd just said in a public meeting, said, "Hey, stop the war." You know what I think? I can't remember.
Yeah,
stop the war on this or something. And it prompted Cranley to pick the phone up, call Todd. Todd said, "Come on over, let's work this out." They worked it out. Because of the quorum thing,
yeah,
Denise did not go, but you know, she was able to get her word into this whole process. And Jeff Aluto from the county and city administration.
Eventually, everyone does.
Patrick Dehaney. And so they all four were over at Todd's house at some point, and that was a Saturday afternoon, and they hashed it all out, and finally things were able to move forward. The council then came in, approved it, the commissioners approved it, and it's like, okay, why couldn't this have happened 6 months ago? You know, look back.
What
and
would
we
you
sit
have done
and talk
for
about
six
the past,
months?
You know, but yeah, that right there is an example of, hey, things can get done. You wish it would be more proactive instead of reactive. But anyway, if we're sitting here talking about politics, that's certainly a little political nugget in this whole thing that is worth mentioning. I'll tell you.
You know,
Sherry,
what though? That's coming out of the ground again. We're moving into the new year with that.
Yeah.
And, you know, there still has to be some decisions about Hilltop Concrete Plant. You have not heard the last of the music venue. And the next news about it will not be what concert's coming. There's more to be said about it, I do think.
Yep. All right. Anything else on that?
I don't know, but I'm going to need a drum roll. These are my favorite. I love these.
I just love talking about that Banks music.
I know you do.
Anyway, number two. FC Cincinnati Stadium development. Now you and I, this is where we had a little bit of a, we were trying to decide whether was the Banks number two and FC number three or vice versa. And we ultimately decide that the FC Cincinnati Stadium development is number two. Tell our listeners why.
Well, I mean, this is a big idea and it's coming. And this was, you know, driven by Carl Lindner III and Jeff Birding, who and this amazing ownership group of these civic leaders I recently wrote about, just put that out there.
The ownership group. Yeah.
Yeah, they're building the stadium in the West End, and you would think that it would be easy, but it has been a fight at every single turn. And a lot of it played out this year. You know, to get the zoning, there was just a lot of arguments within City Hall about the ballet. And so it's like, should the ballet stay or go in the West End? And so that became a fight. Then there's some residents there. Should they have to move or not? And then the county is supposed to build a parking garage. And so are they still building the parking garage or not? It's not, we're building a stadium. If you look at other cities and building their soccer stadiums, which since I cover this, I have done extensively. They don't cover every single, no, newspapers don't cover, there's not twists and turns at every moment, but that is something that has really just become a part of this. And I think there's still more we don't know about the garage yet. The residents, there's the last few residents remaining in buildings owned by the team now, and they're still there.
So that one's going to also continue into 2020. And the stadium is scheduled to open, what, in spring?
March 2021.
Are we looking at a lot more fighting on that one? Are we going to be sitting here at the end of 2020 and saying one of our big political stories of the year again is the FC Cincinnati Stadium? Or do you think that most of the big major things have been cleared? The hurdles.
No, I can't take a guess on that.
Okay.
I can't.
Interesting.
No.
Okay.
You hope that it turns out to be the project that they promised.
Yeah.
That it's the kind of project that's going to transform a neighborhood but not push people out. You hope that the vision that has been, shown, we are going to have, there's no doubt about this, one of the nicest stadiums in the entire country, kind of next to LA, of course, right? They have the Palace of Soccer Stadiums. I mean, we are headed for, something that the fans are going to love, and we have these passionate fans. That's something that has not changed at all throughout everything this year. They've remained loyal. They were not getting it done on the field, which seems to be a hallmark of the moment now.
There's
with the Bengals.
Top five sports story of the year.
But, yes, yes. I would say the Bengals are probably the top sports story of the year.
Well, I'm just saying, in the top five sports stories of the year would be how awful FC Cincinnati was on the field, but the fans didn't waver,
and so they're really looking forward to that. So I think, honestly, going forward, like holding people accountable to that vision and making sure that it remains a neighborhood is kind of going to be the storyline going forward.
I'm of the mind on this that I maybe I'm being too optimistic or whatever, but I just think that in the end, everyone's going to be happy. And this is going to be really special, and that the folks who are, and we can't forget those people who are being displaced by this. And I want to believe in my heart that ultimately they will end up in a better home, a better place. And that when you think about the greater everyone being happy, you bring in the soccer development, I think people are going to love it, and there's going to be concerts there and hopefully World Cups and, or winning FC Cincinnati matches, and that it's something that the entire region and city can be proud of, and that it was done right. And yeah, there were hurdles to get there, and there were some stumbling blocks, and things were hard, but ultimately it was the right thing to do. I really want to believe that. Am I?
Well, it's the new year, so I think remaining hopeful is that's exactly the mood that we should be in.
And part of what makes me hopeful is who's involved. When you think about this ownership group, when you think about Carl Lindner and the legacy of the Lindner family in this town and what they've done for people, Jeff Birding and the work that he's done on city council and the work he's done in building this soccer franchise, and you go on down the line, the Farmer family of Centos, they do so much for the schools. And these are Cincinnatians, the Joseph family. These are generational Cincinnati families who are committed here, who care.
Made Music Hall a reality.
Yep. Yeah. And just the things that they've done and things that we don't even know they've done to help people out here and there. And, we know a lot of the big things and because our names are on buildings and streets around town. That's what makes me hopeful is that you have Cincinnatians through and through who care about this place and its people or who are doing this. And so, that's what makes me believe and be hopeful. All right. We've come.
You know what wasn't hard? What was the number one story of the year?
I saw a big old sigh on this one.
Drum roll, Jason.
Number one. I can't even say it without laughing. Gang of Five text messages.
That's right. I don't like to use that term, but it is a lot of people know it by that now.
Yeah.
It's something that, you know, these all started with the text, you know, the council members and the ousting of Harry Black, this whole rolling, just, you know, what was happening in City Hall with the city manager not getting along with the mayor, and the city manager's, you know, management style with a lot of people, and they're ousting him, and it turns out they were texting amongst themselves. Yep. As a majority of council, and that is a major no-no. Everything needs to be done in public. And, you know, with Cincinnati, even more so in other cities, we are set up to be the best government there is. I mean, I don't think you'd know it by our daily reporting, but we are an idealistic government that is supposed to work together, these two sides. And it was supposed to be... Jason, this is true. This is true. This is the background that I was talking about.
No, it is true. It just makes me laugh.
And, you know, and they just, these council members were not getting along with the mayor, and you found them texting amongst themselves. A citizen, Mark Miller, and a lot has been made of, you know, his ties to the group, the Coast, about the anti-taxes. It doesn't matter. He's still a citizen. He's still... you know, pointed out what he saw as a wrong. And, you know, a lot of reporters saw this too, but we were so in the story at the moment. They put out a press release and it was like, well, how did they come to that? But, you know, Mark Miller was not going to stand for it. What kind of conversation led up to that? And, you know, he hired Brian Shrive. That's a name that you've heard a lot in all of this attorney. But, he, you know, Mark Miller's the actual, you know, he is the citizen. And they sued, and this just became an absolute, you know, we saw five members of Cincinnati City Council called before a judge and chastised. I mean, this judge, Robert Ruhlman, and of course, there's so much politics that plays into all of this, but the facts, you know, as they played out, he just said that no one should ever vote for them. And this is not what the city is set up to be. And the fallout from that, $101,000 taxpayers had to pay. And then on top of that, we saw 10 months of their text messages released. And it was just absolutely, you know, the kind of things that they said nobody would ever, you know, this has been said to me a lot, true story. Nobody ever wants their private texts out. But when you are a public figure, some of the things that they were saying, it was a lesson in civility, too. And, yeah, you know.
It was a lesson in, my God, yeah. You know, I'm sitting here thinking, Sherry, I think about the Banks music venue and how complex and how twisted and turns and ups and downs of covering that. And it's like, ooh, I forgot about how crazy the text messages were. And we're not even done yet, Sherry, because the state auditor is involved in looking into this as well. And so this is going to be a story as we go into 2012 here, or 2020, coming up here. And
2012 seems like a simpler time of not text messages and not social media.
And the potential legal and political fallout of that is certainly going to extend beyond 2019. My take on the whole thing, Sherry, is I just have one word, ridiculous. My biggest things on this were the group texting, the blatant violation of open meetings laws, when started by P.G. Sittenfeld, when he sent that first text to his other four
after you know, they were sworn in.
Yep. And that just then it went from there. And that was always my biggest thing here, was the blatant flouting of the open meetings laws and trying to do this in a very secret way. They all knew better. And I don't care there's no excuses. They all knew better than to do that. When you think about how big of a political story this was as well, there's a new, this set precedent in new open records laws in this state. Now out of this, Sherry, came that now text messages, even between two elected officials, if they're discussing public business, and in this case, City Hall business, that is now a public record. And that's a new law that actually came out of this entire case. And so that is huge and changing, really, I think, how government leaders across the state, at every level of government across the state, now have to think about how they're going to communicate with each other and with the public. And I think sometimes
some of the fighting that we've talked about on these previous four things, these four stories, are born of the idea that they're not having these conversations because they have to hash things out in public. And while fighting is not maybe the best path towards it, it has all been done in public, except for the Hilltop deal, which I don't know. Like, if you're going to ask me my New Year's resolution now, which I know we'll get to that at some point more towards the new year, but if you were to ask, I would say that I would like the redacted Hilltop.
To be clear, that was a count. That's a county thing.
Oh, that's
to be
true.
Clear.
That's
yes.
true. But
that was not,
I mean,
City Hall. Yeah.
Yes. But the idea of doing these things in public is important.
That's what we're here for.
Yes.
Transparency, accountability, and
I think
civility.
We can. Yeah. I think, yeah.
Trying to think of another.
We're definitely going to keep doing that, right?
Yeah. Anything else on number one before we put a wrap on our last 2019 episode?
Oh, well, this is my favorite part of the week. I like hanging out with you in the booth.
Same here. I love this podcast. I love that we have a great team here. You, Phil, myself, we have something special going here.
Getting to know our guests.
Getting
and
to
like
our
stories
guests.
Behind things that, you know, we're writing about in the moment.
And just hearing the feedback. People will catch you when you're out and about. Hey, I heard this on the podcast. And you know, emails from so many of you that email or hit us up on Twitter. And keep doing that. My email is jwilliams@inquirer.com. I'm on Twitter at jwilliamscincy with a Y. Sherry is scoolidge@inquirer.com. And she's at Sharon Coolidge on Twitter.
Please suggest guests for next year.
Please,
we have
yes.
a long line of political guests, of course, in playing with the theme. There's no way we're getting around that, and we want to do that. But we're looking for out-of-the-box things, too, that are so Cincinnati, because that's we're going to stay true to our roots, too.
Yep.
And so, you know, we're political, but we want the people. We want the rich graders. We want, you know, those kind of stories about our city. That's a hallmark of this podcast, and we're not going to lose that next year.
And also, thank you. This was a huge year. We started this podcast in right after Labor Day in 2018, and so we're wrapping up our first full year of the podcast. And wow, the listenership, the feedback, the guests, have to thank the guests as well for their willingness to take time out of their day to come in and discuss and talk and have conversations. And this has been a It's been some trial and error, and I know some folks have talked about, is this hard-hitting journalism? Is this a talk show? Is this it's kind of a little bit of both. And so that's where we want you to come in, email us, hit us up on Twitter, let us know your feedback on that. We want to make this better. We want to keep it going, and we want you to be a part of that. And let us know what your thoughts are. And let us know what you got for Christmas as well. As a,
the list is so long, we're going to need an extra episode.
What's your what's at the top of your Christmas list? Or what was at the top of your Christmas list?
Something a little bit sentimental. I asked Santa for some Chanel perfume. I just, you know, I haven't smelled it in a very long time. Caught a whiff of it in one of the makeup stores, and it reminds me of my grandma. And so,
that.
You know, who's not with us anymore. And, you know, the idea of that smell, I was like, I want to have that around. It
love
makes
it.
Me think of her.
Love it.
How about you?
Socks. You knew it was going to be something boring. Socks.
All right. I don't envy Bethany of having to get you presents. It does seem like it would be very hard. You know,
no, it's not hard. I don't want anything. Like, I, you know, it's my mom's like, what do you want for Christmas? I'm like, And my mom is always all out for Christmas, so I just thought, all right, something I really want or need. And so I want a luggage. I know this sounds
What do you want?
I want this, like, Yakima luggage thing for the top of our car
to take
when we travel.
Yeah.
So, yes, that's my boring.
Okay, well, that'll be functional.
Domesticated
and, like, that's
life.
A good thing, yeah.
Yeah, it's very functional.
That's the kind of thing that you don't want to just buy, right? So.
Sure.
That's where we're at. And that'll be signs of travel, too.
Yes. Thank you so much again. Be sure to check us out also on Cincinnati.com. All these stories that we discussed today, we have full, comprehensive coverage and commentary on all five of those big stories from the year. So just go to Cincinnati.com. Up in the right corner is a search queue, and you can search any of those topics that we talked about and find a
hundreds
plethora.
Hundreds of stories.
Hundreds and hundreds of stories, and a handful of columns where I've weighed in on these things, and or in the case of the Banks Music Venue, a lot of columns. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Holidays. We will be back with a very, very special, unique, and fun New Year's episode, so stick with us next week. All the best, and best to you and your family, folks. Thank you.